And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 360, continuing our mid-year recaps, reviews of each and every position across fantasy baseball, hitting up second base, shortstop, and third base tonight. Last week, we did catcher and first base. We revealed that first base was crazy loaded, so that means something has to give eventually. We'll get to that and much, much more, but before we do so, you can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. On Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How you doing, my friend?
We are hopefully sipping high noons on the Oregon coast when by the time you all hear this. Pre-recording this one a couple days early. I will be at the beach for a few days. So no live recording for this one, but I'm doing well. We got back off the Savannah Banana train last night, so that was weird. It was weird. I don't know how best to describe it. It was a good time, but very bizarre event. Kids had a blast, which is all that counts.
Yeah, it's not made for adults. That's for sure.
It's not.
It's for the kids, and from all accounts, what you said and others have said, they succeed in the kids department.
They do.
That's where it's at. And that's smart. That's where the money's at. Keep the kids happy. Everyone wins. So good business model.
Because the kids want to go back, and I will bring them back if they if they want to go back.
So. And it gives them an inkling of baseball. So maybe someday they want to shift to the real thing. It just levels to it. So
yeah.
Who was the special? They always have like a special guest or something. Who was the
that was one of the disappointments. Awesome. They did not have one. Yeah. For whatever. So a lot of the current Duck players are in Japan right now. They're doing like some 7-on-7 promo thing. So like Lanning, Dante Moore, all those guys are overseas. Okay. We went the Saturday night one. They did a Sunday one as well. And they did have Kenyon Sadiq, who's the
tight end
first round pick this year. And then, and the Black Mamba, the Anthony Thomas was nice.
That's
his runner on Sunday. So they had a couple former Ducks on Sunday, but for ours, they did not have any. That was kind of the one disappointment. Cause I was wondering if
Mariota or Joey Harrington or
something. Right. Yeah. Some old legends or that would have made sense. Cause Harrington still lives around here, but they didn't have one, but no, it was wild. You'd be mid at bat and they just start breaking out and song start doing a concert. So you just have to, it's a mindset thing, right? You take your kids to have a good time, and a good time was had. They every kid was into it.
Well, that's why they can do the goofy stadium setups like that, where it's like 150 feet down the line one way or whatever. Like, it's all goofy. So
it was, they had the home plate was in the end zone. Left field was, I think, 170. Yep. So they didn't even have a left fielder, and right field was like, it was like 400.
That was
fun. They are definitely on to something. There's a reason why Banana Ball is taking over the world.
I want to go check it out. Even like, I have my daughter would love to go. She likes baseball in general, but I know female friends that are like, we should all get the families together when they come. And I'm like, you want to go? Like, you don't even think, you almost despise baseball, but that's what you're talking about. It's built for that kind of audience to embrace it. So it's cool. I'm glad you guys got to make it happen. How was Burks? Burks enjoyed the show.
Burks enjoyed the show. Raj enjoyed the show. That all worked out. That all worked out well. We had pretty good seats because of Burks. He's got Oregon season tickets, so they hooked him up, which was nice. So
good for Burks. Burks, that's great to hear. Yeah, no, we Giants game Friday night with the little one. That was good.
Yeah,
and then I had a wedding on Saturday night that paid for it for a bit this morning. So that was well worth it. Lots of high noons were consumed Saturday evening. Lots of high noons. So it was good. Good time.
And then Toy Story.
Yeah, Toy Story 5 on Sunday. Dad needed a relax. I almost fell asleep like 3 times during the movie. It was one of those. Like, good movie, cute movie. But
sneaking in some fab bids during Toy Story or
I was already done with all that. I did all that this morning. That's the worst part about my life is even when I could sleep in and sleep it off, I'm still up at like 7, doesn't matter. It's rough.
I'm well aware. We would be in Vegas and going to bed at 1 a.m. and you're like, hey, let's have breakfast at 7. No.
Not. Yeah, Grinds all see at 9:30. I'm like, okay. I guess that works.
Yeah, but I prioritize sleep around here.
I want to. It just doesn't work in my world. But what does work in our world is fantasy baseball. So that's what you guys are all here for, to talk a little positional midseason reviews. Like, if you haven't checked it out, episodes 358 was catchers and first base. That was a good warm-up to what we have here. We're going to knock out three positions for you tonight. Second base, shortstop, and third base. So, Ryan, without further ado, let's check out the second base position and let everybody know, if they're watching this on YouTube, what they are staring at.
Yeah, so we are looking at the preseason top 30 ADP at second base. So this is ordered by preseason ADP. This is not ordered by where these players are now. We're kind of looking back at what the expert drafters, you and me included in that statement, thought of the second base position and how that compares to year-to-date rank per the Fangraphs player rater, both overall and at the position. So if you're watching on YouTube, that's what we're looking at. The color coding is the year-to-date ranks, the overall and by position. So second base is, I don't really know what certainly not as successful as first base. I think if we treat first base as the bar for the other positions, we are going to be let down massively. And like you said, at the top, Bubba, because first base was so good, something has to fall. Second base hasn't been horrible so far. Nice little sweet spot. I remember preseason, like, it was so top heavy. You had your two elites. You had Fernando Tatis and Jazz Chisholm at ADP 15 and 24. Both those guys are outside the top five. Fernando Tatis is number 12 at the position halfway through the year. So that hasn't paid off if you spent super early. Even Ketel Marte was the number 3 second baseman, currently number 9. But if you waited a little bit, again, all depends. There's some duds mixed in here, but nice little pocket from, like, starting with like Ozzie Albies through, we'll talk plenty about the bus driver who is our cover boy of the episode, but a nice little pocket in kind of the mid late rounds, where if you waited on second base, and that's what we recommended most of draft season, there were some pretty decent buys there, however, mixed in with some duds as well. So kind of no sweeping takeaways from this. It's pretty patchwork. It's pretty hit or miss depending on where he drafted.
Yeah, like, I guess my takeaway, and you hit on it there for a second, is we had the approach of just wait and see what you could do, work fab if you have to, and it kind of works at this position, to your point. Like, we've looked at other positions, and when we get to the outfield, we get to shortstop tonight, that we were going early on those positions, so these first four second basemen weren't really on our agenda of things to do, and we'd rather wait to go later. And we'll talk about some of the breakouts. There's four top 15 guys that aren't even on this board, so it just goes to show you, second base, you could probably either wait or just work the wire. Heck, there's even more second basemen continually coming available week to week right now. If you want to just stream, you can do a lot of damage in that regard. And like, one guy I don't even think's on this board or on the breakout, so he's probably on the shortstop page, but an NFBC, Brian Rocchio, would qualify at second base. I'm pretty sure he'd probably be on this agenda somewhere. That just came off the top of my head looking at it. So lots of options at second base, especially a guy in Washington we'll talk about in a little bit. I will kick it off here just briefly. Fernando Tatis, like you mentioned, he's 101st overall, 12th at the position. It's a grind. He's been talked about a million times. Finally has 3 home runs. But the 19 steals and the .283 average is carrying Tatis. But at the same time, it's not carrying your fantasy team. It's a detriment to your fantasy team. So just wanted to highlight that with Tatis, unless you got something.
Yeah, it's so everyone talks about the home run total with Tatis, and that has been really bad. I don't know. Like, he's still been 101 overall. Like, that's not awful. It's not great.
For the 15th pick.
For the 15th, it's not great. But it's to the point where, like, it's a strong second half for Tatis. That doesn't make it an awful first pick. Again, the second half has to do some heavy lifting there. But the batting average of steals have been enough to where this hasn't been like a complete disaster. But yeah, you were banking on 30 home runs or whatever from Tatis.
That's the big thing.
It's just, that's just a huge hole.
because we've talked about how, like, in preseason, how the power depletes as the draft goes on, obviously. So when you draft a tee planning for 30, that changes a lot of things throughout your draft as well, most likely. So.
Yeah, yeah.
You got Jazzy Jazz, the goofball himself. 12 homers, 24 steals. The 225 average is what's really hurting. Like, he's still doing fine. Like you mentioned, sixth in the position, 72nd overall. Not destroying you by any means. But if he could just get back to his 245, 250, he'd be groovy right now.
He would. Again, not a total disaster yet. Hasn't been great, but still time for Jazzy Jazz to rebound, assuming. gotta put those lollipops away, man.
Put that blow pop back in the dugout. That's freaking unbelievable stuff. Like, I haven't even seen, like, literally kids try to do that before. Like, at some
point. No, I have not seen that on we are both well versed in T-ball coaching. I have not seen that.
Yeah, the closest thing I had, and I'd like take one of my coaches aside this season. Yeah, he'd bring Skittles out there to keep the kids' attention. I said, "No, you can put those back in the freaking dugout."
Yeah, we don't eat.
That's a no no around here. Yeah, like, I saw that, like, one game. Like, yeah, that's not happening anymore. Like, what are we doing right now?
This is already way off track, but my duty when our T-ball team was batting is I had to keep the dugout in line and keep them in orders and keep the line moving, keep it going. There was some kind of ant hill in our dugout, and the kids were just obsessed with the ants, and so I just stomped on the anthill and squashed all of them and upset some kids. But
tears in the dugout.
Yeah, Coach Ryan just killed a bunch of ants. But hey, game's gotta continue.
I guess I totally endorse all of that. The next two, you got Ketel Marte. He's ninth in the position, 85th overall, and then Bryce Terang, second at the position, 35th overall. So Terang's the first. Second base, when we've discussed, it actually has paid off his value and some. And yeah, the big question with Terang coming into the season was, who is he? Is he the guy we saw last year with the 18 home runs, 24 steals at 288? Or who is he? But he's hitting 254, which is in line with 2024, but the power's there, the speed's there. So he's kind of a combination of things, it looks like, and he's been pretty, pretty good. And the reason why that 254 is there, he's been in a massive slump for like 2 weeks. Otherwise, he'd probably be still in that 280 range.
Yeah, because the K's are up for Terang quite a bit, but the power's taken an even bigger step forward. I think that was one of the things I was wrong on, is I didn't, you know, Terang went from six homers as a rookie to seven in 2024 up to 18 last year. That was a pretty big spike. It was a question, is he going to hold that? And not only has he held that, he's on pace for 20-plus with the steals. So kudos to those who took Bryce Terang. That looks like an awesome buy. That was kind of the last pick before a pretty big drop off in terms of ADP cliffs, and Terang has outperformed pretty easily the top three third baseman by ADP this year.
Yeah, that was ADP 15 through 62. Terang at 62. You got another pocket coming up here. Nico Horner at 112, Rafael at 121, Kieschel at 124, McLean 126. And this is where it gets rough. Like you mentioned, Horner, you draft Horner for his speed and his average, he's hitting 242, so he's crushing you in that regard. And then you got Kieschel, who was supposed to be for his average and speed. Also, he is horrible. He's 272 overall, 35th of the position. Horner's 30th of the position. Then you have Matt McLean with the monster spring and the helium rose. He's 328 overall, 38th of the position. So I at least want to talk something positive, and you can hit on whoever you want in this range. But Snane Rafael is 16th at this position right now. He's 124 overall. He had an ADP of 121. I know during draft season, there was always like people wanted the McLeans, the Horners of the world. And what do you do with Rafael? Like, we know he's got a 20-20 skill set, but will he ever get there? Dude's hitting 280 with 7 jacks and 15 steals so far, or 10 steals, sorry, so far this season. So he's almost on pace for a 2020 season yet again. Like, he's doing the quiet things and doing it very well. So he's the quote unquote winner in this pocket.
Yeah, quote unquote, because Rafael was still the sixth second baseman taken and is now the 16th second baseman by rank. So still not even a great pick, but I mean, somewhat shines compared to Nico Kieschel. Kieschel's just been.
Yeah, but he's 124 overall, then he'd be a 121. That's almost exactly what he paid for.
Yeah, that's true for Rafaela. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Kieschel's been awful. McLean's been all. Yeah, this was a very brutal if you waited and went mid rounds with second base. Rafael I guess is fine where you took him, But this is ugly. These other four guys have been awful. Altuve a little. I mean, Altuve injury, yeah. So can't
injuries, can't and he's getting old. Like you kind of saw this one coming a little bit. But then it gets to a pocket of niceness. Ozzie Albies at ADP 169, he's 66th overall, fifth at the position. Bryson Stott, not what you want, but it's not horrible. 177, 148th overall, 23rd at the position. But then you got Xavier Edwards, I think shocking many people because the power has arisen with Edwards. He's seventh at the position, 75th overall. Jackson Holliday has played like maybe a month, so that doesn't even matter at this point. And then Brandon Lau's been a beast. The back has held up this year. ADP was 214, 44th overall, third at the position. It's a couple home runs every week with Brandon Lau. It's really, really impressive.
Sorry, I'm hiding JJ Weatherholt in the bottom here. So JJ Weatherholt deserves to be in that.
Yeah, he's ADP 216. He's 83rd overall, eighth at the position. So in this pocket from ADP 169 to 216, you have the fifth, seventh, third, and eighth overall at the position. So that goes a long ways.
That goes a long ways. The mystery of Ozzie Albies for me, that's one I want to hit on. It continues. Just, I mean, how do we project this guy? He's either completely unrosterable or he's a top five second baseman, and you just don't know which version you are going to get. Brandon Lau, just want to piggyback off you on that one. Hell of a, I didn't see this one coming from Brandon Lau.
No, not at all.
He's never really been this good.
We always said he was good, but he was always hurt and couldn't even play 100 games. Like it's still half the season to go, but he's played pretty much the whole first half and he's beasting out. So it's impressive.
Yeah. The Xavier Edwards, want to give him a shout just for the power uptick. I didn't think that was possible, but in age 26, Xavier Edwards has 6 home runs, only 11 steals. So, and hitting 298. So it's kind of weird. Like, yes, Xavier Edwards has outperformed his draft position, but in terms of like 5x5, you're not getting, I mean, you drafted Edwards and probably penciled in what, 30, 35 bags, and you only have 11 so far. Again, the power has been nice. The batting average has been nice. Ton of runs scored for Xavier Edwards, 45. So that's a pace of roughly 90. We're pretty much at the exact halfway point of the season. But the shape of that production for Xavier Edwards has been, I don't think that has been what anyone expected. I don't think anyone expected a potential double-digit home runs Xavier Edwards with only 20 steals. Like, it all works out in the end, I guess, unless you're really struggling in bags because of Edwards. But it's just an interesting when you kind of dive deeper into the categories. It's not what we expected.
No, not at all. It's a very impressive, and it's already going to be a question this offseason. Is this for real with Xavier Edwards? And that'll be another fun conversation like we had with Bryce Terang. All right, we head over to 16 through 30, and then you got Jorge Polanco, who hasn't played this year. I think Jose Caballero is the big one here. I know he's not that high, but I'm saying big one in the fact that he's eligible everywhere. We knew he was starting the season at shortstop. We didn't know how long he'd stay there for. People were worried about his job. ADP of 235 with Caballero. He's 132nd overall, definitely performing there. 18th at the position. He was the 17th second baseman taken off the board. So it's one of those, if you took the gamble on Caballero, like, sure, you'd probably like a, well, he's hitting 252, which is even better than he ever has, but it's the 19 stolen bases and the 8 home runs. He's been amazing, honestly. He's doing Jazz Chisholm things for a lot cheaper.
He's doing Jazz Chisholm things for a lot cheaper. That's fair. I think the biggest thing, right, with Caballero was before the season, it was like, okay, he's going to start at shortstop for what, a month or two until Volpe comes back, and then what? That hasn't really been an issue, right? Caballero, 48 games played at shortstop, 5 at second base, 8 at third base, 15 in the outfield, like. And that is potentially a lesson learned here of these super versatile players. It's like, if they have a job for a month or two to start the year, half the team's going to get hurt by the time, you know, we're 2 months in, and Caballero can piece together enough plate appearances, enough defensive versatility to kind of make it work for a full season. And yeah, we're halfway through the year. Jose Caballero is on pace for just over 500 plate appearances with all those bags, the bombs, and a decent batting average. So that has absolutely worked out to get that production at someone who qualifies at what, five different positions, which is just
all over the place.
Huge. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what I was meaning when I said like he's probably the biggest winner, just if you took the chance on where you took him. He's obviously not the biggest because you got a guy named Otto Lopez, aka the bus driver, went seven picks after him, 15th overall at ADP 232, first at the position. The bus driver's hitting 332, the six home runs, 16 stolen base, 52 runs scored for the bus driver.
For the Marlins, too. Like, yeah, wow.
Striking out less than 15% of the time. Like, he's been, we liked him a lot for the 15-15 floor with like a 250 average. Yeah, he's blown that out of the water. It's the nicest way to say it.
Yeah, and admittedly, like a 375 BABIP for Otto Lopez. It was his career mark is 313. So Otto, the bus driver is running quite hot in terms of hits, but better whatever.
Add some antifreeze to that thing.
Yeah, add some, exactly. Might slow down a little bit in the second half, but whatever. It you know, it counts. He makes a ton of contact. Lopez hits a ton of ground balls. It's finding holes right now. The power pace is about what we expected. The stolen bases are way up, partly because, yeah, he's running and he's successful. Lopez is 16 for 19 on the bases. But, I mean, that huge BABIP, all those times on base, he just has more opportunities to run. And it has been absolutely beautiful for the bus driver. Second base and shortstop eligibility, which is pretty damn sweet. Let me actually, so he's, Lopez is number one at second base. At shortstop, Otto Lopez is number two. So no matter where you put him, the bus driver has been driving you to not school, but good places.
There you go. Slick Willie, he's 25th at the position. He's actually been better like the last month. Still not a great season from Slick Willie, but a lot of time to improve on that because he is in Coors Field. That'll be something to think about. Jordan Lawler can't stay healthy. Gleyber Torres can't stay healthy. That leads us to an ADP of 256, 86th overall, 10th at the position, sits first lefties, crushes righties, hit two home runs on Sunday. Yeah. Luis Garcia Jr., the best offense in baseball, he's hitting 279 with 16 jacks, two stolen bases, and 55 RBIs. Like, holy crap. And like I also said, that's not playing every day.
Yeah, and not playing on my my teams that have him. Luis Garcia is probably
line to look different on Ryan's team.
Yeah, he's probably the 20th best second baseman on my freaking team because I benched him all week for his six homer week. So I just love this game. I absolutely love playing fantasy baseball. Sometimes you just have to. Yeah, this is the thing with Luis Garcia. Like, yeah, we didn't think he'd be this great, but like, it's these platoon guys who at the end of the year, they just, the stat line is there. It's like, just, I need to practice what I preach. Don't worry about it. If it's a weekend series and Garcia is sitting on Friday because it's a lefty, but he's got two righties Saturday, Sunday, leave him in. That was the exact scenario this past weekend for Garcia. So excellent year for Luis Garcia. One of the many reasons why the Washington Nationals are just, that lineup is just crushing right now. And first base, second base eligible as well.
Which is big. Yes, very big. Brendan Donovan, he's just been hurt. Marcus Semien at ADP 270, he's not been great, plus hurt. Brett Beatty, I don't know if it's ever going to happen. I'm going to say it nicely. His ADP is 285. You got anything on those three before we hit up two other good ones?
Donovan's in witness protection here in the Pacific Northwest. There's no idea what he's doing. This feels like the last chance for Brett Beatty, at least in Queens. Yes. He's going to get some run with the semi and injury, but it doesn't look good.
No, not at all. That leads me to Luis Arraez, and now it could be a one-year thing. It's like I've said many times, it's also been, I've actually watched him almost every game, which has changed my mindset on him, but ADP of 286, he's the 103rd player overall, 13th at second base. Luis Arraez, we were always like, oh, it's a batting average guy and not a whole lot else. Well, right now, Luis Arraez is hitting 324 with three homers and six steals. Like, if you could pencil in six homers, 12 steals, 300-plus average, and he might score 80 runs, this guy's a lot better than I was giving him credit for. This is a heck of a season for Luis Arraez. It's basically Xavier Edwards light right now, and that would check out with Edwards 7th at the position, Arraez 13th.
Yeah, 4% K rate for Luis Arraez. It's
yeah, he's walking more than he strikes out.
Yeah.
It's stupid. I mean,
not too hard to do when you never strike out. But yeah, he's been the big thing is, like, you know, the counting stats, 41 runs, like, that helps a lot. But just a .320 batting average in this environment is huge, right? It's only one barrel in 341 plate appearances for Luis Arraez. So you know, that we expected. But hey, man, if he can crack double digit bags, that's at least something to go with an elite batting average and good counting stats. I mean, that kind of makes him like a semi-decent three category player if just for men lets him keep running.
Yeah, I'm curious on I didn't look at his numbers from Friday, but he hit one off the bricks in right center and then one into triples alley that got caught. So apparently neither one of those was a barrel. I wonder if they went too high launch angle wise. Like, I'm curious because he crushed two balls that night that didn't come through. So very interesting to hear that, because he's showcased a little more pop than I expected from him. All right, another great one to discuss here. First off, 14 of these 30 second basemans on this list were in the 200s, ADP-wise. So it goes back to the waiting game. And a lot, like, if you want to stretch it out to Xavier Edwards and to this next guy, it's like 17 of the 30 were from 193 to 302. And you got a handful of, like, top 15 second basemans here. Like, a little less than half of them. So the waiting game is what I'm trying to bring home with that. And that last guy I'm going to discuss is Ernie Clement, EC Light himself, ADP of 302, 139th overall, 19th position. Average dropped to 299 on Sunday. He was over 300, 7 homers, 2 steals. It's still a pretty boring fantasy profile. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it. But, like, when it comes to real life, and this, obviously, it's a Fangraphs play rated for fantasy, EC Light's going to be an all-star, and he is a lot of what churns that Jays offense.
He will be an all-star, and he is a lot. He churns the Jays offense. The Jays offense sucks.
But he's, like, the only thing that's consistent in it, is my point. Like, it's
nothing to churn, but he is churning. He is churning.
He's outproducing that first baseman over there.
I know. He is. No, congrats to all-star leading vote getter Ernie Clement. Never thought I'd say that.
Clip it. All right, the last three we got here from 302 to 331 ADP, Luis Angel Acuña, who we talked about in the Fab show. They're just not playing him still. Like, I think since we talked about him that night, he has not started a game, which is hilarious. Andrés Giménez, he's had his moments, but he's also been hurt. And then Jeff McNeil should go to find his AARP card and get out of Sacramento. He's just clogging a roster spot. But I got nothing on those three.
I figured your McNeil commentary would be as pessimistic as it was.
Such a waste of space. Let's talk breakouts then. These are some good ones, like really, really good ones that have helped my fantasy teams for sure.
Yeah, so that's kind of the big missing piece. And you mentioned Rocchio at the top, Bubba. I did miss him in our thing. So Rocchio has been the number 10. But there have been five second basemen, apologies, in the 515, in the top 15 so far this season. Casey Schmidt, number 4. We talked about Schmidt. He's maybe mid-year mascot material. We will talk about him at every single position. But Casey Schmidt
mentioned that in the Discord the other day. That should be one of our potential discussion points.
Yeah, feels a little cheap to name a mid-year mascot, but I'm not above it. You know,
I do a lot of stupid things. So
we have low standards here at Bubba in the Bloom. So
yeah. Have you met our HR and PR people? Like, we're good.
Yeah, not the best group. Casey Schmidt, number 4 at second base. Brian Rocchio, number 10. Brooks Lee, 11. Yo boy, Zach Geloff, in a partial season, number 14 at second base. Awesome. And Nassim Nunez rounds out our top 15 at second base. All of these guys drafted outside the top 30 or not even drafted at all. I think that's a big takeaway for second base, where, like, even if you had a lot of these misses, we talked about the misses with, like, the tier of, like, Nico Hoerner, Keyshaw, McClain, Altuve. Like, you had a chance to make up for that with a Schmidt, Rocchio, Lee, Geloff, Nunez, or multiple of those guys. And I think that's been probably the highlight of the position, is waiver ads that have turned out to be, at least halfway through the year, been pretty damn good with that group.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying early on, is it's a position that we talk about waiting on, and you could stream guys all throughout the year, because, like, I just pulled up since June 1st at second base, guys we've talked about on Fab shows. Michael Massey's the 5th second baseman right now. I'm not using a player rater. I'm just using, like, just a statistical page on Fangraphs. Massey's number 5. We didn't even mention him because it's not a full season thing, obviously. But, like, How you Lee of Detroit. He's played for 2 weeks and looks awesome. Like, that could be a guy. Chase Mydroth is another guy that's played well enough to get you. Cole Young, your boy. He's been like,
yeah,
not, yep, like not elite fantasy, but having a really
15
strong season
team
there.
Viable for sure. Playing and yeah.
Another guy we haven't discussed, Travis Bisogna. Like, it, I could keep going. My point is almost all of those guys are off the waiver wire. That's so, like, you can, that's just something to keep in mind. Once again, when we talk about it in the preseason, it's second base will likely be a position again where I just sit back and either draft it late or just play the waiver wire throughout the season.
Yeah, it definitely would have worked this year outside of Bryce Kerrang early, but yep, pretty much every other early second baseman pretty much didn't work out.
Nope. Let's go to shortstop, though. We're in draft season. It was draft one early, sometimes draft two early was the talking point on this show and many more, because you got those five category studs that you were trying to piece together at shortstop. And I'd like to think most have been good enough. Like, was Ryan pulls the board, like Lindor's been hurt, Ellie was hurt, like so on and so forth. You can go down the list. But here you go, Ryan. Let everybody know what we are looking at.
It's been pretty, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to make a shortstop, because yeah, the theme, like you said, all draft season was get one early, maybe get two early. It's been kind of hit or miss. It's been kind of hit or miss at shortstop. I mean, we'll go through some of the names, but like the second half of this board to me looks just as good as the first half. So shortstop 16 yep, through 30, if you're watching on YouTube, the right side of the board that we're showing, a lot of nice hits. And some of those guys carry over from second base. So like a lot of, it's Otto Lopez, it's Caballero, it's Xavier Edwards. Like, so there is some, you know, you may not be playing these guys at shortstop, but I would say in general, this top group of shortstop has not performed. For as bulletproof as it seemed in draft season, this has been somewhat underwhelming in the aggregate. Yeah, some of these guys have performed, but I would say in general, so far, this hasn't been the best performing group of a group that we thought was the strongest. These guys in the outfielders, early outfielders of draft season.
Yeah, I'll add a little bit there. Yeah, the start was still good, and I'll get to that in a minute. But it kind of, it shows the depth of the position, the way you mentioned that the right side of the board, the 16 through 30. It's why we said if you don't get a second one early, at least make sure your middle infielder is a shortstop. That checks out as you go down the board compared to second base as well. But I just want to highlight in like the first 99 picks in ADP, you had 11 shortstops taken. Seven of them are top 12 picks. The ones that weren't, Lindor, who's been hurt most of the year, Michael Garcia has been hurt, Mookie Betts has been hurt, Perdomo's the only one I'd be like, okay, what the heck? The rest of the guys at least had a viable, like they missed over a month of time. So I'll give them a break on that one. Like, we didn't know you could do that coming into the season. Yeah, it still sucks for your team, but you couldn't have predicted Lindor missed. He started out with the hamate injury, and then he got hurt again. Like, he's been out most of the season. And Mookie Betts, yeah, we told you not to draft him anyways, but that's a whole nother story. But up top, like Bobby Witt, ADP of three, third at the position, 21st overall. It's been
fine,
good enough, yeah, but you'd wanted more. Ellie De La Cruz missed some time. He's fifth at the position. He was picked 10th. And then Gunner was ADP of 13th, 102 overall, 12th at the position. Like, honestly, Gunner's like the most disappointing pick to me at all of the top of the board.
That's the one I was going to kind of nitpick your, you know, I love nitpicking your comments, yes, but that is the one shortstop where I'm like, Gunner does not have the injury excuse. Yes, the power has been there for Gunnar Henderson, 16 home runs, but our guy is hitting .223 with six steals. So yes, technically Gunner is a top 12 shortstop, but this is a first round pick who is just outside the top 100 overall through the first half of the season and has had 381 plate appearances. This is I don't have the plate appearance list up in front of me, but I would reckon Gunnar Henderson is among the lead leaders in plate appearances, and he just has not done much with it. So I don't know. I don't know what to. We had this discussion in the Discord.
Gunnar Henderson is third in all of baseball in plate appearances.
That checks out. Don't know what to make of Gunnar. I really don't. I don't know. I don't know what you think. We had this discussion in the Discord a couple weeks ago. It's like, he's been fine, but like, has he been, outside of a brief stretch early in his career, has he been this good? Has he been first round good? I don't know.
No, he hasn't been, and that's why like every preseason, he's not one of our targets out of like the eight elite shortstops because we don't know what to get out of him. The weird part is it's like it's the batting average that's crushing you. He's hitting 223. Mm-hmm. But it's with a 255 BABIP. Like he's got 16 jacks. He's got six steals. Like he's on pace for 30, almost 30, 15 if things can get cranked up in the second half. It's just that BABIP batting average combo that's just completely destroying you. And also just the Orioles offense has been insanely inconsistent. So that's a whole other conversation. But yes, I agree. Gunner has been a disappointment this year. We've also seen Gunner go on just massive tears where I wouldn't be surprised when we do our end of season review. We're talking like 35, 15 with like a 260 average. And you'll be pretty happy with that when it's all said and done.
It is just funny that Gunner is, in terms of like public appearance here. Oh, where are we at? I'm going to screw it up. Gunner versus Tatis. I think they are like right next to each other in the player rater. And Tatis just gets destroyed. Yes, Tatis is number 72 in the Fangraphs player rater. Gunnar Henderson is 73. Basically the same ADP. I don't hear a tenth of the complaining about Gunnar
Henderson. I think it's all the power.
It's all about home runs. Yeah, that's why. It's just interesting. It's interesting to me.
It's a good point. It's a very good point because I drafted my team for power. We've talked about this when we were in Vegas, like looking at our teams. I purposely did it. So I'd be more cranky about the 223 batting average, like just destroying my team, especially mm-hmm. those plate appearances you mentioned, that volume that goes with it. It's like, poof.
Yep.
That's a rough deal right there. Yeah, you want more than three homers from Tatis, but that batting average that he's given you helps a lot. So, yeah, interesting conversation. Good point on that. Trey Turner is another guy. It's been a down season, but like last year ended weird with like the injuries, the age, and it really hasn't picked back up for him. He's ADP of 36, but 129 overall, 14th at the position. I don't know. Yeah. It feels like he's always playing with like a knee injury. It feels like a back injury or something's going on with him all the time.
Yeah, I've got some Trey Turner. It hasn't felt like a disaster, but also hasn't. I don't know. I don't know what to think of Trey. It seems like a soft decline that just keeps getting softly declining, or which isn't good.
That's another soft spot.
Yeah, it's another soft spot. I mean, the biggest it's a 233 batting average for Trey Turner. Like that is brutal. Yes, it's more strikeouts. It's a 23% strikeout rate for Trey Turner is the highest of his career. The double whammy has been a 287 BABIP, which is the lowest of Trey Turner's career. Trey Turner, the last three seasons, has been right around 330. So I don't know. I'm not like super bummed about Trey Turner yet. Half a season of 233 is definitely going to sting. We can't rag on Gunnar Henderson's batting average without doing so for Trey Turner's, but some of it BABIP induced. So I don't know. I feel like he'll be okay, but yeah, not worth the top 40 pick.
Full agree. Zach Neto is an interesting one because ADP was 44. He's 48th overall, fourth of the position. You love the sounds of all of that. Then you look at the stat line, 17 homers, 57 runs, 39 RBIs, 11 steals. Okay, you're still happy. Then you get to a 32% strikeout rate, 120 Ks, and a 222 batting average. Like, and you can't even point to the BABIP because that's almost what he's been doing his whole career. That batting average is bad. And yeah, thank God the power and speed's there is what I'll say.
And the runs.
Yeah.
A lot of runs. So, yeah, it works, but gotta love the runs, especially on a Sunday evening. That's a lot of bad batting average early for shortstop.
You nailed it. That's what I was wondering if you're going to go with that here in a minute. Because even Bobby Witt, who we love, he's down compared to what you – like, you drafted so many of these guys for elite batting average. Trey Turner should be over 300. Neto should be at least 260. Gunner should be up there. Like Bobby Witt's hitting 288, but you feel like that's disappointing for what you drafted with him. And then real quick, Ellie, who came back, he's actually hitting 268. Like you kind of are fine with that. But as a whole, we thought five category guys up here. We're talking these are first three rounds of a 15 right here. And a lot of them are not meeting expectations.
Well, that's also a theme of this season in general. A lot of these first, second round picks, it's not just shortstop.
All right, so we'll skip over Garcia and Betts. Betts banged up, plus we've kind of seen this regression coming in recent years. So kind of a combo there, but let's talk about another Washington National offensively gifted individual, CJ Abrams, who you and I both were all in on by the end of draft season. ADP of 77, eighth overall, first at the shortstop position for C.J. Abrams. Hey, let the man go gamble outside of Wrigley. Just let him go. Yeah. C.J. Abrams, 275, 17 homers, 13 steals, but to top it off, 51 runs, 57 RBIs.
Yeah.
Looks pretty good, Ryan.
I mean, I think that's the, of all that you mentioned, it's the potential for 100-plus runs and 100-plus RBI.
He might be like 250-plus comboed by the end of this thing.
Could be, just because he's doing this in this elite Nationals offense. K-rate's right where it's been in the past. The power has just taken yet another step up for C.J. Abrams. 23 barrels, 10% barrel rate. He's running. This is beautiful. I know we skipped over Mookie Betts, but we talk about this all the time in the preseason, where there are going to be these cases where you have two players right next to each other in ADP. Picking one or the other is very much going to foretell the results of your season. If you took Mookie Betts at pick 75 right before C.J. Abrams at pick 77, man, that's a lot of what if to make up.
Big time. Let's do a quick talk on Geraldo Perdomo, ADP at 91, 199 overall, 25th of the position. Obviously coming off that breakout 2025 season where he hit 290, 20 home runs, 27 steals. He's only got 5 homers and 11 steals this year while hitting 245. 245 would be his lowest batting average since 2022. Like, it's a big drop off for Geraldo Perdomo. What are you seeing when you check out Mr. Perdomo?
Where did the power go? Right. Yep. I mean, that massive power spike, that pulled power that so many were talking about with Geraldo Perdomo, traditionally like a 2-3% barrel rate guy, which is zero power, that spiked up to 6% last season, right back down to 3% for Geraldo Perdomo. So that's, again, we're kind of we're selectively choosing certain guys and lessons learned and that sort of thing. But this is an interesting one in terms of, like, with Perdomo, he was, for me, one of the toughest ones to project. It's that kind of age old, this is the track record of the player. He had one awesome year that was, a lot of it supported by the skills, but it was just one year. Just because you have a big uptick in skills and barrel rate and that sort of thing doesn't mean it can't just go back to what it was, you know, before your breakout year. We're seeing this with Cal Raleigh. This is another example with Geraldo Perdomo where he has pretty much gone back to being the guy that he was before 2025. And that is nowhere near the version that you drafted with a top 100 pick.
Wrapping up the top 100 is Bo Bichette, 99th pick overall, 99th overall in the fantasy player raider.
There you go.
10th of the position. And honestly, if he keeps doing what he's done like the last month, he could reach your top 5 when this is all said and done. And it all comes down to batting average from him. It's 10 homers, 44 runs, 46 RBIs, one steal, but 254 average. Like, when you get Bichette, you're looking for another 300. It's like a Trey Turner profile minus the speed, because the power's there right now. He needs the average to keep coming back, but he's played much better over the last, like I'd say, month.
Yeah, I feel like we talked about Bichette a few weeks ago, and I know I was pretty down on him. But yes, the last month, 318, 5 home runs for Bo Bichette. That'll play. Has hit half his homers the last month of the season. So you like that?
And then to wrap up the final four here, Corey Seager, never Corey Seager. Trevor Story, he's dead. Matt McClain talked about he's dead already. And then Jeremy Pena, it's like he was ADP 142, 193 overall, 23rd of the position, but he spent a ton of time on the IL this year. So that's been a downer as well.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, 16 through 30, got Willy Adames, who he's just been a roller coaster of emotions. Batting average sucks, power's there. But your boy, I'd love to know what this number was before his 11 RBI day in a doubleheader. But Dansby Swanson, ADP of 151. He's 100th overall, 11th at the position. He was left for dead a couple weeks back. And, you know, outside of one game, maybe he will be left for dead again in 2 weeks. We'll see. But he's still hitting only .190 with those 11 home runs and 10 steals.
He is still only hitting .190 with those 11 homers and 10 steals. But still, yeah, it wasn't just that one game. Bubba.
It was a double headers too. You're right.
It wasn't that one day, I should say. It was a hell of a day. I loved that. Lot of belly aching in the Discord with Dansby Swanson. Yes. A few drops last week.
I dropped him in some 12s.
Yeah, I mean,
like a few weeks back.
I mean, he didn't show anything, but
no.
But yeah, power speed. I don't know. I just feel like Dansby Swanson's one of those guys. You just let it ride. I know sometimes you get burned by that, where you just get like a year of nothing. But a lot of these, I mean, Matt Chapman was another example. I know Chapman's fallen back to earth, but he did nothing for a while. And then he had a huge spike. I just feel like these guys by the end of the year, they're not going to be great, but they're going to be roughly what you paid for. And Swanson has been roughly that, albeit with the maybe potential theme of the position, crappy batting average, but making up for it with, power and speed.
This next one's great because you mentioned earlier with Betts and Abrams. We got two guys both at an ADP of 189. A lot of people like to see Ezekiel Tovar for Coors Field. He's 495th overall, 39th of the position. Hot garbage is the nicest way I could put it. Yeah. Then you got the young stud, Connor Griffin. Didn't start the season in the bigs, just got off the IL. Small sample, ADP 189, 183 overall, 22nd at the position. He's got 5 homers, 14 steals, hitting .273 in only 52 games. Like, this is a guy that's probably top 15, maybe creeps towards the top 10 if he stays healthy for the second half of the season. He seems like the real deal.
I will take this opportunity. I know Kevin McGonigal is a little bit further down, but mid-year check-in on these kind of big three rookies. We talked about J.J. Weatherholt at second base. J.J. Weatherholt is 83rd overall at a .216 ADP. Connor Griffin's 183 overall at a 189 ADP, and Kevin McGonigal 81 overall at a 200 ADP. So halfway through the season, McGonigal and J.J. Weatherholt are looking very good. Griffin, not as good, but still in position to, with a big second half, which could very well happen the way Connor Griffin looks, to make up for that. So I would say in general, these big three rookies have been pretty good. Griffin, the least of the three, but that could change.
Well, and Griffin also got the latest start to the season. So he's got those guys got a head start on him as well.
And an IL stint. So,
but they've all been awesome, to your point. Like, they're all as advertised. Really solid stuff there. We talked to X already. Jacob Wilson's been hurt a lot. Xander Bogaerts is old. Jose Caballero, we discussed. Otto Lopez. Anything in that grouping before I move on?
I mean, we'll move on, but come on, man. Xavier Edwards. No, sorry. Never mind.
Bogaerts?
Apologies.
You want to talk about Bogaerts?
I mixed up Xavier Edwards and Xander Bogaerts. Apologies. Yeah. Never mind.
Yeah, I'm like, Bogaerts, you really want to... I was waiting for you to go to bat for
Xander Bogaerts. It's been a long weekend. I saw Xander Bogaerts, the number 6 shortstop, and I wanted to stop you in your tracks, but then, as usual, it's better if I just don't say anything at all.
So then we got the bus driver who we discussed, Slick Willie who we discussed, Jordan Lawler who we discussed. Yeah. Get down to the 18th shortstop off the board, Crickets himself.
Look at him.
ADP of 272, 94th overall, 9th at the shortstop position. And it's like, we all knew the power was there for Colson Montgomery, Crickets Montgomery. He's hitting .221. He's doing exactly what we thought he would do.
Yeah. I got him for a buck in 2 separate auctions this year. It's one of my few good moves. Doing what we thought he would do. I don't know. Doing what we thought he'd do from a batting average and strikeout standpoint, I don't know if we would have thought 20 home runs halfway through the season, like a 40 home run pace.
He's basically on the same pace he was last year. Last year in 71 games at 21 homers and 78 this year, he has 20.
Yeah. And the second straight year of, so 21 homers last year, only 25 barrels last year. 20 homers this year, only 26 barrels. Again, that homer to barrel rate, typically you have almost twice as many barrels as you would home runs. So for the second year in a row, Colson Montgomery is running pure in terms of that ratio. Is it a pull? Is it something that Colson Montgomery's doing that makes him kind of buck that trend and say, no, this is not 2 years in a row where he's been lucky? I don't know yet. But yeah, hell of a power performance from Colson Montgomery. 46 RBI is also, and 38 runs in a better White Sox lineup. That is also been very good for him.
And then you got Mason Wynn, Carlos Correa to wrap things up and can go away from there. So what do you got for the breakouts?
Not much. So second base has been the supreme breakout position. The only breakouts I have, and they are both second base eligible, were Brooks Lee, number 8 at the position for the Fangraphs player rater, and Nassim Nunez is number 13 at shortstop per the Fangraphs player rater. It's also interesting to note, I always like to do this, Nassim Nunez is the number 13 shortstop and the number 15 second baseman. So not much of a difference in terms of the talent pool at the top 15 between second base and shortstop. I don't think anyone would have predicted that before the season.
Well, I won't give away the breakouts and other stuff on third base, but there's guys that are ranked farther back at the third base position than they are at shortstop and second base right now. So we'd expect shortstop's depth, like to your point, to elaborate on that, is you'd expect them to be, I guess, their quote-unquote lowest ranking at shortstop, but to have it be lower at second or even third, that does stand out to me. Like, yeah, in a big way, because these platoon guys and, I guess, multi-position guys that play over the diamond, you'd think would be a little different, but you never know. That's the fun of it all. Let's talk third base now, where, again, you didn't take a ton of guys early. If you did, you didn't get burned, is what I would say nicely, at third base. But as a whole, it was better than I think we thought it would be, but at the same time, a steaming pile of garbage throughout there. It was minefields everywhere. And a lot of these guys are multi-position that you probably didn't even draft to play third base. Maybe you did. Right. I don't know. Right. So it gets interesting. But what do you see when you look at the third base chart?
Yeah, very patchy at the top. So you were happy at least until whatever 2 weeks ago with J-Ram. I mean,
still fits the position.
Still a top 60 player. Like, I know you were huge on J-Ram. Got him in a bunch.
My only two shares from my two Vegas drafts. Yeah. Like, I was like,
You only have two shares of J-Ram? I thought.
Yeah, it's only those two drafts. Because I remember going to Vegas, like our last show before we left. I said, I have no J-Ram somehow, because I was always going like a shortstop, or I wasn't getting like a mid first round pick. So that first auction, I was boom, went and bought J-Ram for like, it was like $3 or $4 cheaper than his AAV. And I was like over the moon for it. Well, this is easy. What are we worried about Vegas for? And then, it unraveled quickly. But
I mean, whatever, still a fine pick. I can't predict that.
Nope.
We need to give you your flowers as the original Junior Caminero guy. Took Junior in the first round of the meatball draft last August and kind of sparked some.
It was some like the debate. Talk of every podcast.
It was.
Every podcast. It really,
I mean, you did. I don't think, again, going back to last August, the season was still, obviously, we had two more months of the season to go. You did stick your neck out on that one. Junior Cameron, I forget which pick you had. I think maybe
it was 10th, like 11th,
12, something
it was
like that.
11th, I think. Okay. Yeah.
And you went Junior Caminero with that first round pick, and yeah, everyone talked about it. Super polarizing guy, looking pretty damn good to me. So well done, man.
Thank you. Just a little request next time, just promote the show if you could. If you're gonna say that,
that's right. You weren't really called out at all by name.
It was just the 11th pick.
The big bald man who had the 11th pick.
Yeah, selected Junior Caminero. Like, at least Bubba the Bloom comes at you twice a week. They have a Patreon too. Just throwing it out there.
If you want to talk about our meatball picks in 2026, you must do a full 30-second ad read for the show.
Because we're giving you guys three shows to talk about because there's nothing else to talk about. At least plug the stuff. Like, come on. Common courtesy here. And I'm looking forward to it because we'll be drafted probably in like a month and a half. So
yeah, it's coming up. Coming up.
But Caminero, 292 average. That's would be a career high. 22 jacks. He's not running. We didn't expect him to run. 17.5% K rate. Like, the guy's he's so good, and he's freaking 22 years old. Like, the biggest argument people were saying was leaving the minor league ballpark, and I kept saying he can hit anywhere. Like, I watched him put one halfway up the bleachers in a night game in San Francisco. Like, if you can do that, you have power. You're fine. Like, there's no concerns with Junior Caminero, and so far so good on a 22-year-old monster. Jazz is there. We talked about him already. Like, if we want to compare stuff, he's 7th at third base. Jazz Chisholm was 6th at second base. So pretty close in those regards.
Yep.
Let's get to the heavier hitting parts of this now, where the pockets of Manny Machado, Austin Riley, and Mikel Garcia. Garcia's been banged up, but still, he counts here. Went from ADP 51 to 64, 249, 299, 272 overall, 25th to 20th at the position alone for Machado, Riley. Machado and Riley pretty much played all season, and it's been bad. So this is where if you didn't go with one of the first two-round third basemen, you're like, okay, I still want a quote-unquote elite guy without, like, in the next three rounds, it hurt.
And it still hurts if you're me. I have
you're not dropping those guys.
I'm not even benching them. Why am I going to bench Manny Machado? Maybe I should, but yeah, this one hurts. A ton of Manny Machado and my teams that have Manny Machado, shocker or not, doing too well. I still call me stubborn. I don't know. Dude, it's a 189 BABIP. Like that is horrifically low. I mean, that's why he's hitting 183, and that 183 is awful, but like still has 14 homers. I mean, 38 runs, 43 RBI, like any kind of normal BABIP for Manny Machado, even those counting stats look a lot better. It's a combination of, yeah, I think this is the start of a decline for Manny, but also man, has not appeased the BABIP gods. I'm not excusing the pick, but it definitely hurts.
That's totally fair. Bubba Shett's back here. He's 12th at third base, 10th at shortstop. So there's one for you.
Where real, he falls real back quick, two spots. Bubba, rest of season, your favorite question.
Yeah.
Machado, Riley, or Mikel Garcia? Since they are right next to each other, they pretty much picked all next to each other. They've all equally disappointed. Who would you bet when we do our postseason recap is the highest ranked third baseman of Machado, Riley, or Garcia?
Probably Machado, but I'd pick Riley just because his quality of contact metrics are still through the roof. Like okay. He's still looking, it's not as good as what they once were, but they're still very good. So like if anybody's gonna go on a tear, I could see it being him. Where Machado, I think, will be better, but I don't know if it's gonna be good enough.
Much better lineup too. But man, Riley, 212, eight home runs. Holy cow.
Oh, he's been dog ass, is what he's been. It's been brutal.
Jeez. But yeah, no, makes sense.
All right, so like I said, Bichette, 12th at third base, 10th at shortstop, if you want to play that game. Eugenio Suarez missed a ton of time with an injury. He might be hurt again because he got hit in the hand, and x-rays couldn't even be taken because his hand was too swollen after the game on Sunday. Let's talk Alex Bregman, a guy that we all, kind of similar to Machado, this isn't shady, but just what we're talking about, where it's like, because I have some Bregman, we think it's just this boring floor, got to do his thing. That's not the case this year. ADP of 141, Bregman's 300th overall, 30th at the third base position. In a 15-team league, he could probably not be rostered. He is, but Bregman has 6 home runs, 2 steals, a 239 average, 27 RBIs. We used to talk about how he was like a lock for 200 runs and RBIs combined. He's getting it lucky to get to like 125 at this pace. This is a dreadful season for Alex Bregman.
I just lamented Austin Riley's line. This is even worse, dude.
Yeah, it's bad. Like bad. Like the guys we trusted are just going off the reservation.
Yeah, not a good year for the olds at third base here at all. Especially because I mean, the next guy we'll talk about, the next guy in the group, Sal Stewart, went 15 picks after Bregman, and yeah, you want to talk about comparing two guys with similar ADPs. The youth wins there with Sal Stewart, but yeah, this is brutal. I think I picked up Bregman in our Vegas listener league 12 teamer, and I was like all happy to get him. I don't know, forget how much I spent, whatever it was too much. Still hasn't done anything. This is bad.
He's very difficult to roster in a 12 teamer right now.
Difficult
to roster. Yeah. You mentioned Sal Stewart. He's been a beast mode, and he's gone through like a heat wave, a slump, and another heat wave. He's doing that type of thing. But 33rd overall, third of the position, as you mentioned. I don't know if you had anything else on Stewart, but he's been awesome.
No, I think it is good to note the kind of relative recent recovery for Sal Stewart, because you just always wonder with these rookies, these youths, how are they going to adjust the adjustments and that sort of thing. And Sal Stewart he's treading water quite well after a great start and then a bad slump, and seems to be doing fine.
And this might be a testament to how bad third base can be. Matt Chapman, He's still 23rd at the position, even though he's been so bad. He had like a 2 to 3 week hot stretch, ADP of 178. He seems broken again, though, so do with that what you wish.
Yeah, man. I mean, even Noelvi Marte's next, but like basically from pick 50 to 180, that's a big part of the draft at third base. Out of 10 total guys, there have only been really two. Bo Bichette, who, again, up until a few weeks ago, was not doing anything, and Sal Stewart. Outside of that, this has been a complete wasteland at third base.
Kevin McGonigal, ADP 200. He's ninth at third base. He was – where did I have him? He's seventh at shortstop, so he's another guy that took a couple steps back in the position. You got Royce Lewis, who, yeah, we know that story. Caleb Durbin will be an interesting one because his last month has been insane. That's got him up to 28th at the position. Power, speed, average. If he could put together about three more months of that at this position, we're talking about an easy top 15, approaching top 10 at the position.
Yeah, will be very interesting to see where Caleb Durbin goes from here because still young enough to kind of take that step. And the last 2 weeks of Caleb Durbin have been pretty remarkable given the first 2.5 months, which were pretty nondescript, and I'm being nice there.
And most of his damage is done on other teams because he was on the waiver wire because he got dropped everywhere. Mm-hmm. So big problems there. On the flip side, 16 through 30, Barger's been hurt, but the big oak, get your wood, folks. Kazuma Okamoto, ADP of 222, 62nd overall, sixth at the position. Got 19 jacks and 53 RBIs for that bad Jays offense we were talking about. The weird thing is, though, it's a 32% K rate, 238 average for a guy that when we looked, you know, going into the season, I know it was MPB ball, but plate discipline and batting average was his skill set. And that has not been there. It's been all power, which is groovy. But the average part was maybe something you're baking in for to take late if you didn't take somebody early type thing.
It is, yeah. I didn't really know that. I have no big oak, so I'm kind of looking at the stat line for
Blue Chew Gold will help with that, everybody.
Yes. Interesting that, I mean, I'm going to make the Murakami big oak comp just because they both came over together. It's just interesting they both have the same K rate. You know, I think Okamoto, yeah, to your point, striking out a lot more than we thought, but also hitting for a lot more power. Like, I feel like I'm looking at Murakami's page and not Okamoto's Fangraphs page, but like a lot of K's, but the power I think has been far beyond what anyone thought it would be for Okamoto. And then yeah, you tag on the 53 RBI, and like, which could even be like, I mean, imagine if the Jays were any good. Like, I mean, if Vlad was doing anything around Okamoto, those counting stats could be much better too. So excellent start to the year for Okamoto. I do, you know, a 33% strikeout rate is, that is pretty brutal, but he's making it work. So let's see. But a very fine carryover for both Okamoto and Murakami, which you wonder for 2027's class, I guess. That may affect how those guys are viewed as well.
And I'll say this much. Yeah, the 33% K rate is horrible, but I'd be more concerned if he was actually hitting 280 with the K rate. In this era of baseball we live in now, so many of these power hitters,
yeah, don't live for average.
It's just like, that's just the way it goes now. And I've been embracing that for a couple of years, and it's just hitting heavier this year, it seems, because more people are doing that.
Yeah. And even you look at a lot of the like Fangraphs projections, they project Okamoto as a same batting average the rest of the way. So 240, 245. So it's just, yep, might be who he is.
Full agree. Caballero, who we talked about, is another interesting one. He's 15th at the third base position. Caballero. He was at second base, or he was 18th at second base. So a bit of a jump there with Caballero, and he was 15th at shortstop. So same as third base. Maximus Muncy, I'm guessing it's the Dodgers Muncy, 73rd overall, eighth at the position. And that is a shocker to me when I look at this, just because he's been banged up. And like another guy, we've talked about it with the Big Oak, like, I guess 263 is a big bump for Muncy to go with his 16 home runs. So the uptick in batting average has helped him a ton.
That's surprising to me as well. I thought for a second, maybe I'm combining the two stat lines of the Max Muncy's, and that combined is the number 8 third baseman. But no, the Dodgers Max Muncy, because of that 266 batting average, but also 50 runs. It's a lot of runs.
Yep,
he's the Dodgers. He's
that bingo. Yes, it sucks.
I think it's pretty good, but you know.
Yeah. It's, for Muncy, it is, yes. Slick Willie doing his thing on the third board of tonight's show. Alec Bohm just goes, once again, we say it every year, maybe an okay real-life player because somehow he still hits cleanup or fifth for the Phillies. Fantasy, he's just hot garbage. 33rd at the position, 321 overall, and he plays pretty much every day.
Yep.
Jordan Lawler, Brendan Donovan, we've already said, are deceased. Colson Cricket Montgomery's been awesome. And now let's talk about the man, the myth, the legend, the former Dodgers, but they were too dumb enough to put him on their roster because they had to pay for people instead. Sorry, I have to get my jabs wherever I can. It's a rough existence out here. It's called an embarrassment of riches is what they had. Miguel Vargas, this one's pretty awesome. ADP of 273, 22nd overall. Now let's say it again. ADP of 273, 22nd overall. That's 251 spot differential. First at the third base position, went deep again on Sunday, has 19 home runs now with 56 runs, 52 RBIs, 10 steals, and honestly, the 252 average is probably the most surprising thing to me. Miguel Vargas has just been great across the board.
Excellent season. I do want to point out, with Miguel Vargas and Otto Lopez, you could have had the number one second baseman, the number two shortstop, both of that is Otto Lopez, and the number one third baseman outside the top 220 ADP halfway through the year. Yep, it's crazy.
Always, every preseason, there's like we always say, if you can find the couple way overachiever guys, you're going to be gravy. And there you go. There's a couple of them. Right, we haven't even got to the outfield yet.
Yeah. And not even like, I know I'm kind of grouping these guys together. Like, I don't even know if we knew if these guys had any kind of ceiling like this. Like, we thought Otto Lopez was just kind of, high floor, kind of lower 15, ceiling.
15 with an average.
Like, yeah, like, good, but nothing special. Miguel Vargas, like, I don't know, kind of the same deal. Maybe a little bit more volatility with Vargas because we just haven't seen him as much. But pretty wild to see those two guys doing their thing, both outside the top 230 ADP.
Yeah, like Vargas, it was more like, okay, he's going to get you 25 to 30 jacks, but maybe 10 steals, and he's going to probably hit 220. Like, how's that going to play for my team? And yeah, he's almost got 20 home runs already with 10 steals and hitting two. It's crazy. Amazing season.
Yep.
Then it's brutal. Isak Paredes, Brett Beatty, Matt Shaw, Carlos Correa, and then EC Light rounds out the top 30 off the board here. So, yeah, third base, Ryan, like the top three were good enough to what you did, and extremely spotty and almost better to wait at this position as well, which we kind of recommended unless you were going that Machado Riley pocket, which has not worked out
very No, which has turned out to be a cargo pocket. So there we go.
I get more use out of my cargo pockets.
You do, yeah. As you should. Not many breakouts either third base, and all these guys again are going to be other positions. It's Casey Schmidt, number four at third base, Brooks Lee, number 10, Zach Geloff, number 13 at third base, and then I guess we haven't mentioned Nick Gonzalez yet, but number 14 at third base. So I don't venture to call him a breakout, but breakouts are just guys in the top 15 that were drafted outside the top 30 or undrafted. So I don't know.
That's Nick Gonzalez's elite batting average doing all the heavy lifting on that one.
Yeah.
To see Lee and Schmidt on pretty much every board as a breakout says a lot. You mentioned Vargas and Otto Lopez as he drafted. You could have picked up Lee and Schmidt early off the wire to pay, like, you could have done a lot of damage to your roster in a good way as we do that. Any final thoughts on second, short, and third before we get a couple listener questions for you?
I just after talking through it, pretty shocking how relatively bad shortstop has been so far. Yes. I didn't think it was this bad compared to second and third. And obviously, the last show is first base. First base has been the best position, infield position of them all. Did not think shortstop would be this bad of a position that we thought was just pretty ironclad, the best position in fantasy.
Yeah, the shortstop, it was weird because it showcased the depth with the 16 through 30 doing actually pretty well. But the initial top 15, to your point, it's been pretty brutal if you're on that. And I'm not going to change my idea probably come draft day. I still want to probably get an early shortstop. But, yeah, it's been rough, and it's a lot of injury-based stuff in that regard. Whereas at least third base, it's just guys aren't producing, which is a different story.
Yeah.
All right. Got a couple listener questions here from the old Discord. TDK says, is Jorge Polanco alive? He actually started a rehab assignment. So
he's rehabbing. Yeah. He may die on the rehab trail, but he is currently alive.
Yes, he might get he might be on the Oregon Trail and then die of dysentery. CDK says, "What the second half is going to be worth the stash for Jorge Polanco?" I just don't even know if he's going to like get through his rehab's the problem.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just the end. I mean, Jorge Polanco will have a job when he returns, if he returns to the New York Metropolitans. But yeah, you just can't trust him to stay healthy. It's been many years of leg injuries for him.
All right, then SMMS79 says, which red overall guy are you betting on returning most value in the second half? Didn't specify a position, so it's up to you on what position you want, but I'm just kind of scanning since I printed these out. It's easier to look at. Well, the easy answer for me is Francisco Lindor, but that's probably cheating.
That would be cheating.
That'd be my guy.
So at third base, the deep red guys, Noelvi Marte, and deep red is like rare steak outside 1,000. Again, mostly injuries. Noelvi Marte, Addison Barger, Lawler, Donovan. Who would you take out of that group?
I take Noelvi Marte. That's how bad it is. I don't really want any of them, but I take Marte.
Shortstop. Not even talking Lindor. There are none.
I wouldn't take the rest of them. I wouldn't no. even go near them.
See, I guess there's Corey Seager. Trevor Story is deceased. Matt McClain, Jordan Lawler. I don't know.
None of them. No. None of them. Same. I'm sorry. Like, I know you asked a question, but I'm telling you the answer. None.
Second base, Jackson Holliday, Jorge Polanco, Jordan Lawler, Brendan Donovan, Brett Beatty, Luis Angel Acuna, I'll loop him in. And I know you're not going to say Jeff McNeil, but I'll group Jeff McNeil in.
I'd probably go Jackson Holliday. I know I'm biased. The batting average just sucked, but he's got five jacks now in 32 games. He's scoring runs and driving him in, three steals. I think he's, out of all the guys, I probably wouldn't be interested in any of, out of all those guys, I'd take Jackson Holliday.
Yeah, I wish our beer bet was not null and void there, top six. But
yeah, that would have been interesting is the best way I'll put that. I'm going to scroll up because we had a couple questions last week because we ended up doing second base.
Yeah, about second base, sure.
So let me see if I can give me a second here to
This is ambitious of you, Bubba.
Okay, I got some right here. We're good. SMMS said second base with the most red, least amount of impact bats. Time to just completely give up on should we just give up on prioritizing the position, he says. Second base, that sorry. Is.
Say that again. Say the question.
He says second base has the most red, least amount of impact bats. Is it time to just completely give up on prioritizing the position?
No, just because there have been a lot of gems at second base. And this year, the gems have been kind of the undrafted outside the top 30 type. But, you know, that could also be the kind of mid late round of the pool next season. So, no, I wouldn't say we should no longer prioritize second base. There's a lot of speed that comes out of second base that, depending on how the rest of your team is doing, you're going to need.
Then Alex has a question here. Does Antonacci finish as a top 10 second baseman? He's playing the outfield, but I'm pretty sure he was second base eligible when he got called up. He's hitting .292 with four homers and 11 steals. I'd say if he keeps that pace, yes.
Per the player rater, Antonacci at second base is, maybe we should have used him as a, oh, he doesn't even qualify at second base, at least in Fangraphs.
Yeah, Fangraphs might have him off. I'll check something on it. I think NFBC does have him there. Just give me 1 second. Antonacci, if I can spell, that'd be a start.
He's
second outfield in NFBC.
Okay. Then, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he definitely could. That batting average stolen base combo with the run scoring potential for Antonacci in that lineup is fantastic. He's got a green light, doesn't strike out, hits the ball on the ground, and even hits for some power. It's been a 7% barrel rate. That's right around league average power, you know, which isn't great, but if the name of your game is batting average and steals and you can sprinkle in 10, 15 bombs, yeah, you could be a top 10 at second base.
Yep. So I think that's a good shout there. It kind of goes, I think, to the point I was making at second base. I think I mentioned him briefly on the top, like I was like Bazzano and all those guys. There's a ton of guys that aren't even on this top 30 we talked about at second base that are producing for you. So I guess also to SMMS's question earlier is, do you give up on that position? Probably not. Can you focus on just kind of taking specs late, maybe just rolling with the wire? Maybe as well. It could be a season-to-season thing, but there's – be a lot of middle infield options this year. Something to keep in mind. All right, we'll wrap it up there, Ryan. Any final thoughts before you head out on vacation? And we will be live Thursday evening. We'll be back for Fab. Ryan will probably be in peak position coming off of vacation.
I'll be completely dialed in. I'll know every transaction. We'll be good on.
Be awesome.
Be good for Thursday night. Hope everyone has a good week. Again, I guess we're releasing this on time, so we're already halfway through the week, but be back Thursday. Fab preview. Week 16. We're getting there, man.
Yeah, almost less than double-digit weeks to go. Like, that's insane to say that part out loud. But we will be back with you guys, like Ryan said. But until then, check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Entrick, and this was Bubba the Bloom, episode 360. Catch you all next time.